Welcome to the Brave Files podcast. I'm so glad you tuned in. Today, we're taking a look at our bodies holistically and compassionately. This week's guest is Denicia Hilton, and she teaches a multifaceted perspective of menstruation that shatters the belief of what's expected as a normal and healthy cycle. I am honestly blown away by this conversation and the very, very many takeaways that just kept stacking up. Here are a few of the really powerful aha moments from this interview. The way you think and feel about your body affects how it works. The keys to having a healthy and aligned mind, body, and spirit are compassion, communication, and patience. You are always healing, all the time. Emotions, they ebb and flow, and when you resist that cycle, it has the potential to magnify. What we resist persists. And finally, we talk about the fact that meaningful transformation happens when you feel safe. And you have the power to create that safe environment for yourself in so choosing to do so. I do want to point out that this episode is for anyone who menstruates or anyone who loves someone who menstruates. We all know that this is not a binary issue. And here at The Brave Files, we're committed to supporting all people without judgment. And as always, I invite you to join us in the Brave on Purpose Facebook Collective to share your brave journey with a group of people who, just like you, are dedicated to living a bigger, bolder, braver life. Just visit Brave on Purpose on Facebook, and I'll see you there.
Clarity, compassion, and consciousness.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. Hey, everybody. This is Heather Vickery. Welcome to this week's episode of the Brave Files podcast. You know, as a woman, I am always so intrigued with the way my own body works. Sometimes it baffles me. Sometimes it makes me angry or sad. And sometimes, but not nearly enough, it makes me very happy and very proud. But today's guest is Denicia Hilton, and she is doing some pretty groundbreaking work helping women get educated and embrace their body holistically as it relates to menstrual health. Yes, you heard that right. We are talking about menstrual health. Your period. Denicia is a doctor of Oriental medicine. She's a holistic period and fertility specialist and the host of Period Bypassing Podcast. Everything she does boils down to teaching a multifaceted perspective of the menstrual cycle that shatters the belief of what's been accepted as normal and what's healthy for women. And she likes to have a little fun as well. She told me that serious healing doesn't have to be taken so seriously. And hey, before we started this interview, we already made a joke about going with the flow. So we're there, folks. I love it. Denicia, I am so excited to have you here. Welcome to The Brave Files.
Thank you. Hey.
You have such a great voice, and I love your voice on your podcast. It's nice to talk to people who have such an energetic, sort of peaceful, calming voice.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I think this is a really cool topic, obviously, because I invited you on the show to talk about it. I know so many women. I have so many questions, but I know so many women whose parents never told them anything about their period. Now, my mom did. She prepped me. And then it was like, you're 12. Oh, my God, you're a woman now. And I was like, that's ridiculous, but whatever. You know, but some folks, like, their parents never said anything. And then I was reading, have you read Gabrielle Union's biography, memoir?
I did not read the memoir. I'm familiar with a little bit of her story just from articles that I read as far as her fertility journey goes.
Yeah, yeah. She struggled with that. I actually listened to it on Audible. It is so good. Highly recommended. But she talks about the fact that in school and with her family, they never, ever talked about what it meant to start her period other than, and I quote, "You can now get pregnant at any moment."
Yes.
But they never told her how you get pregnant. She's like, oh, my God, I started bleeding and I'm under the covers terrified that I could get pregnant at any moment, just like Mary did. She's Christian. Like, well, shit. So
I have to add that now to my Libby account and so I can listen to it.
Oh, it's really, 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 really good. So this level of learning and understanding your body, I think, is really groundbreaking. And I'd love to know, you know, more about what it is and what led you here?
Yeah. So, okay. So I'll start with how I got here and what led me here, simply because you brought up Gabrielle's when once her period started, that's what she was told. Right. So
yeah.
In my case, it was, my mom was really sweet. Like, she knows I'm a reader. So she brought us books.
I love it. So, and I was like, here, baby, here's the info you need. Okay.
That's what we got, were these books. And I'm like, okay, I'm reading these books and I still don't get it. And so but all she did was, then next she's like, just remember, always with wings, always with wings. And I was like, okay, still had no idea what that meant either. And so
for those of you listening who maybe have not ever had a period, those are maxi pads with little sticky things that go around your underwear.
Yes.
Yes.
So okay. It was funny because I really just was like, always with wings. I was just, okay, just always with wings. I had no idea, even beyond that, what it actually really meant. And so so then one day I'm like, I think, Mom, I think my period started. I think that's what you're talking about, you know. And she already had the pads there. So it wasn't like, oh, it happened at school. Fortunately for me, it was at home. So I was like, oh, okay, great. And then fast forward, though, when I went on one of my first field trips by myself, out of state, and then my period started. And then I was like, always with wings. And we stopped at the store and I was going down an aisle and I'm like, always, always, always. And then I was like, oh, those have wings on the package. So I was like, yes, at least I remember. But I mean, really, that was the extent, right? And so then fast forward again. And now I'm getting ready to go to college and I'm doing my last checkup. Okay, I'm super loyal to people around me because I like change, but there's certain types of change that I'm a little bit slower
sure.
to.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So one of those are my physicians. So I'm getting ready to go off and I'm actually seeing my pediatrician going to college because I was I'm aging out of this practice, y'all.
I did the same thing. I did the same thing.
See? Because you feel so comfortable with them, right?
Yeah,
So I'm at this physical, the last physical, and she goes out, does the update with my mom. She comes back in and she's like, so your mom wants to put you on birth control. And I'm looking at her why? I'm not doing anything. And I don't plan on doing anything either. And so she's like, well, she just wants to, and I was like, oh, fine, right? And I was like, what are my options? And then she just went down the list. She was like, well, you could take a pill. It's going to be every day. Or you could do the shot. I was like, please, we know how I am about shots. And then I which is very interesting since I practice acupuncture now. But anyways, so then she's like, or you could do the patch. And I'm like, well, what's up with this patch thing? And so basically that was pretty much the conversation, right? And I went with the patch because to me, I was like, well, I'll remember to change that every week. And then that was it. So fast forward again. And then all of a sudden, it's my first summer after my first year of college. And then I discovered a breast lump and screamed like murder, like, Mom! She's like, what? And I go running and I'm like, there's something there. And so urgently went to the doctor's office, and my doc wasn't there, which actually, interestingly enough, in retrospect, she had left the practice to go study acupuncture.
Oh, wow. How about that? No wonder you felt an akismet attraction to her.
Yeah, it was awesome. So anyways, this pediatrician I saw, she was like, oh, it's probably nothing. You have large breasts and there's fibroadenomas are common and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do anything. Well, my mom completely felt something different and was like, yes, we are. And so she kept pushing. I ended up getting a lumpectomy, and then you get the call. Like, you have a follow-up appointment, but then you get the call that says, can you come in sooner?
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I go in and learn that the margins were not what they considered safe. So ultimately, the type of tumor that it was, it's a Greek name, has a Greek name, and stands for tree or something like that. And so and it's because of the way that it spreads like roots of a tree. And it started spreading. And so they were like, we want to go back in. Let's see if we can surgically remove everything. So it was like, okay. Which this all
and
sucks.
And how old were you?
Young. Oh, 17. Yeah.
Seven. Holy cow.
Yeah. So then fast forward again. And now I'm in grad school and ended up fortunately in a class that I wasn't really supposed to be at, but spiritually I guess I was.
Well, let's hold on real quick for 1 second. So are you a breast cancer survivor or what happened with that?
So it ended up actually the margins being clear.
Okay.
They didn't really class. I don't think they ever really said like you had breast cancer. Like, so I don't.
No further treatment once they did the surgical removal.
No treatment other than follow-ups for a few years to see if it was growing back.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was scary.
Very scary. Terrifying.
Every visit when you have a tech that's like, I can't tell you anything, so you're trying to analyze their face. And you're like, all of a sudden you're an ultrasound tech like expert. You're like looking at everything. Yeah. So fortunately that's where it stayed. Yeah.
Okay, good news. All right. Yes. So college in this class, unsuspectingly in this class.
Yes, in the presenter. I felt something with this presenter. And I was like, something's up with him. I'm not sure what it is. Couldn't put my finger on it. Just sat there listening. And he ends up actually sharing a story later on about his wife who had passed away. And she passed away from the same rare tumor that I had.
Oh, wow.
And then he says that actually what started it was because she was beginning menopause and they just put her on synthetic hormones to manage it. Ultimately, that's what birth control is.
Yeah.
So in a way, it was like, holy guacamole, are you telling me that this was activated because I was taking this patch?
This patch,
I didn't even really want to take in the first place,
there's so much in that. I wanted to let you keep telling your story, but first of all, I'm sure your mother is a wonderful person, but, you know, deciding for a child that they should have some sort of birth control takes away all of their right to have say over their own body. Just like refusing to let them have it if they want to have it. But also, I mean, I was on the pill for, oh my God, a long time, 23 years, 25 years, something like that. But it totally affects your cycle, which I think, again, also boils down to the work you're doing. And so then obviously now we know that it can lead to tumors and other things, but when you mess with your cycle like that, are there residual effects?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I ended up actually learning. Like that was one of the things that I extrapolated out of my experience was, so as a parent, which is a learning lesson, like for myself, like in the future, right, is how do you have this so that it is a conversation that actually involves the child, and then proceeding to see that this person, like you, are indeed affecting their body, their bodily autonomy. And then, you know, when I've had conversations with other parents, I understand and I listen to their fears, right? You know, well, we don't want another child. Like, that's why I was saying it was similar to Gabrielle Union, in the sense that, like, that's a resonating message that you hear is like, oh, you can get pregnant anytime now. And so then they do everything to stop it. But like, No, like nobody actually explained.
Where's the education?
During these certain days, there's ovulation where your probability has increased, or like any of that was just out of the window. And so like, I understand that's where my mom's fear was. She didn't say that, but like, obviously, well, you're going off to college. Like, so
right.
We're not
chances
gonna have
are
that.
Good. Yeah. But yeah. Then there's also, and I don't know what your sexual orientation is, but then there's also the assumption that like they're putting a sexual orientation on you also.
Yeah. And that, I mean, my mom knew, like, I'm heterosexual. So my mom knew too that like, she's into the boys and she's had her crushes and although like I haven't.
Yeah, but I had my crushes anything. And I didn't come out till I was 38 and I'd been married for a decade. So
See, yeah, there's assumptions, true. And those assumptions definitely carried on.
Yeah. Just leave some space, you know?
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. That is so, yes, and there's so, it's so multifaceted.
And it is like, so if we, I know that we're talking like menstrual health, right? But like, I just told you about this gentleman's wife who was going into menopause where it's similar, like,
yeah,
very similar. And the thing is that like the same way that people tend to think about menstrual health, they'll think about menopause too. And so then now you have like all these women that literally are going into this place of like dreading menopause when really there's studies that show that if a culture supports menopause, the experience that these women have in menopause is actually completely different.
And that's fascinating.
Yeah. It's all like, it's all thought and culture. And so like a lot of the stuff that I like really reframe for women is really the thought. It's really perspective. It's really perception. It's understanding, taking a look at your culture, not the culture that you think of like, oh, well, I'm African-American. Like not necessarily
not
just that culture.
Yeah.
But like other ways that culture exists. And it's like even listening to the statements, even listening to the jokes, that stuff becomes real to people. And it's like that really can affect how it is that you see yourself, right? So if we, when it comes to our cycles, right, like I'm just going to go ahead and slap this Band-Aid on, which is a pill or something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do that, even if and the residual effects that we were alluding to, I think it really ended up taking a while for my cycle to kind of recalibrate itself. But at the same time, you have to be mindful of we can change the function of our hormones rather quickly because that happens with our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions.
Oh, wow.
I
know you will have a lot to say, but that brings up so much for me. One, I'm perimenopausal. And so all of a sudden I had terrible periods as a teenager, which is why they ended up putting me on the pill because I was in so much pain and I was bleeding so much.
Yeah.
Don't know whether or not that was a good call or not, but that was the reason. And now I'm back to the way it was when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, and it fucking sucks, quite frankly.
Mm.
But two other friends of mine come to mind. One is younger than me and has a health complication that is probably going to require her ovaries to be removed, which will shove her into menopause, and she's literally terrified. And I was just telling her the other day, I was like, look, menopause doesn't have to be that bad. Like there are healthy, natural, holistic ways to deal with this. You're going to be okay. I'll help you. And then I also think about my friends, one in particular, who are trans men. And if they've chosen to have a hysterectomy, right?
Yeah.
Then they've put themselves into menopause and there's so much. But I think when they do that, they want it so badly that what you're talking about is your thoughts and your mindset and your manifestation. I think that goes a long way into not making the menopause so awful because they so desperately no longer want to have those female sex organs.
Yeah. And in those cases, like I will have, so I want to also bring in that I had a conversation with, this is a while ago with, oh my gosh, he's got to be like probably in mid-20s now because it was a while ago. But he was also trans male. And we had the conversation because he was adopted. And so would have the talk, like they talk with his parents about what is it that I can do when it comes to having this menstrual cycle, and the periods were really bad as well. And so then they introduced birth control to help, but then ended up with birth control induced other conditions.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's kind of, so when I say that, and I think about like your friend, right, is to help, it's like kind of understand if you can in any way, and maybe it's someone else that does that for you, right, that can help you take and go macro a little bit, like go up, rise above it, right? So that's my interpretation when I hear rise above situations. I'm like, just go macro, like that's what I mean by it. So
think about the details, yeah.
Yeah, so when you do that, then it starts to, you can try to introduce like a different way of what's going on. Like what's going on for you? What are these thoughts that's coming up? And then sometimes like I really feel like as I was listening to you, I actually really felt like, oh, there's more that's there that more than likely is calling attention right now to be addressed that will actually help facilitate the transition. And so then it, you can almost take that emotion of like this dread and this fear and then change it and shift it. And so then it becomes one of acceptance in a way of accepting the self, while then at the same time, you could still be transitioning. And yeah. So, and then the experience would be much more, I want to say it would be more enjoyable, if yeah. you will, because when you're, I feel like when people kind of just go and they're like, okay, well, I'm just going to go and do this. And it's whether they might have a condition where the hysterectomy might be the, it has, you know, that has to, that's the solution right now. The thing is that I still keep open that there's something else going on. Because if there's a need for the hysterectomy, then to me, there was something that was precluding that, that was asking for sure. you for your attention. So then even though the physical organ might be removed, the energy behind what even started
is still there.
And that means then it's going to actually find it somewhere else to show itself, which is that whole invitation for you to really go inward and to learn from this. And you end up growing yourself spiritually and personally, and you're growing from that. And then it shifts your whole experience with yourself.
That's prolific. So it really is.
That's I think that's prolific. That I was talking about when I was emailing
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm noticing that pattern. And even with those like in the trans community, like your friend with, there's that association like, well, I want this removed. But then how do I, you know, and it's because I don't really think there is like a full spectrum. At least I haven't come across anything yet.
I totally agree with you.
Of helping to hold that space,
yeah,
for the before, during, and after. Yeah. And like my friend had a hysterectomy last year, and I tried my best to hold that space for her. And then at the same time, I was like kind of letting her know, like, I don't even think that I would be necessarily fully appropriate, because I think I'm feeling like there are some other things that's here as to why this even happened in the first place. And you may not be comfortable with me to allow that to fully come out. And so you need to find that. Like, yeah. And I'm like, you yeah. got to address it, because you might remove this uterus, but it may still show up somewhere else. Like, and yeah. so we,
holy shit.
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh, and I just, side note, I just want to say how much I appreciate your inclusivity with any person who menstruates or has at any time menstruated. I kind of feel a little, like it's making me feel a little emotional. Maybe aww. I'm ovulating. Maybe that's why. Because we so often want to make this just a born a woman issue or living as a woman issue, and it's not.
Yeah.
And so thank you for being so welcome. Inclusive with your work.
Yeah. You're welcome. I do want to say, like, I'll say this because you mentioned it, and so I'm feeling called to talk about this right now. But I did have a mom who spoke with me, and then she actually asked me to consult with her child And she let me know ahead of time, like, what was going on and the decisions that were being made at the time. And so she really wanted to make sure that her child felt like they were involved in the decision-making process and whatnot. And so I actually did consult. And so I understand, especially from the parent's perspective. And it's having to understand, like, if we are all hormonal beings, right? And there's so much that can play a role into how it is that our hormones function. If people want to just strip everything away and they're like, oh, we're biological, it's like, okay, well, fine. But I'm here to tell you that all the thoughts and feelings and emotions, they all play a role. Yeah. And so for those that are in that space of, okay, am I transitioning? Do I want to do this? I don't know what the future holds, but so I don't really necessarily want to do a hysterectomy, but I also want to, my periods are horrible. And that makes me, you know, think about that and this. Yeah. And the thing is the more that there is a supportive environment,
yeah,
it actually helps the physical response, because it reduces the internal stressors that would actually play a role in the hormonal dysfunction that is playing a role in the way that the cycle is presenting itself, which yeah, might be in the bleeding or the cramping. And that's why I like sitting in the space of just listening to the conversations, because everyone's so different. Like, their association with themselves and their bodies is so different. And so in order to really be supportive in my eyes is to just kind of listen to how it's affecting them and in what ways. And then to come from that space of like, okay, so what are you visualizing? And then are you open now to possibilities that you can have a healthier relationship with your body while actually having a body that's actually healthier, like instead of potentially introducing harmful things. But then what if it is the cramping that's reminding you of this? What if there's ways that we can reduce the cramping and it's not, yeah, you know, so detrimental to your system? And so some people don't realize like that's even a possibility, which has led to the concept of period bypassing, because it's like, oh, all periods are going to be cramping, cramp filled and, you know, heavy bleeding and all that stuff. And it's like, no, not necessarily. So even just seeing that that's even a possibility is a game changer for so many.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no right fit answer, just like there's no right fit answer really for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many factors at play, and we need to know ourselves and our bodies and our wants and our desires and our motivations. Well, we need to really dig in and get to know all of those things to make good, healthy decisions for us.
Yeah. And when you dig in, it's like, just be open, right? Like, be open, because if you're feeling like you're going to shut pieces off because you're just not wanting to go there, own it. Just say that you don't want to go there, because at least you're aware of that, and then give yourself the grace to still go through your life and then understand like, oh, I'll have another opportunity to address this later.
I love that. Okay. You have a program that's called Flow As Is. Am I saying that right?
Oh, the Flowasis.
Flowasis. Okay, that's funny. I don't know if we should keep that in or edit it out. Flowasis. I really thought it was flow as is, which made sense to me. I was like, flow as it is. Like, oh, enjoy your flow.
That interpretation is so cool to hear, because it still applies.
Okay, good. Then we can leave it in, Andrew. But I hadn't heard you say it, so that's how I read it. It's flow dash A-S-I. S.
Yeah.
Flowasis. Okay.
That is so funny.
It's really funny.
I like that. That's awesome. I like that interpretation too.
Okay. Well, tell us what it is.
Yeah. So, okay. And as I do things, right, which is so funny to me, because I struggled with this when I was growing up in English classes, was like, you know, you'd have that question on the test of what's the theme of such and such book. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean by theme? Like, I didn't get it. So now, though, everything to me, I have to find some theme. And I have to, like, have, like, all these things to go along with it and everything, right? And so with that, I have, like, I create these spaces. And it helps me to be able to it's like once I have the theme, to me, that's the space. And then it helps me to, like, process and ask myself, well, what's happening in this space? And then that's when I'm like, well, what culture is there? Like, what are they thinking? How are they feeling? And so in my mind, I have, like, that flow-asis space.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like it's not necessarily just in my mind, but it's like wherever I might be. So if I'm there and I'm talking or you're listening to something and I'm in your ear, you are just now, and you didn't realize it, you were in the flow-asis. And so, like, in the flow-asis, that's where you are.
That's where you can flow as is.
Yes. 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 As is. You come as is and you flow as is. Because it's, I feel like, if people feel that, right? Mm. When you feel that, have you ever just, like, met someone and you're like, you're talking to them and then all of a sudden you go, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but I'm just telling you
this.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So that, to me, that's the energy that you feel that you're safe. And so whenever I talk about this, it's like, I just have this, I just put it out there. Like, you're going to feel like you're safe to just talk about this. And I have people talking to me all the time about stuff, like about their periods or their fertility stuff or their menopause or whatever it is. And then at first I was like, this is strange. But now I've understood that this is actually part of my energy. And so that is where they feel safe. And so when you feel safe, then you allow yourself for there to be transformation. Mm. And so because your guard is down.
I just want to say that again. Did y'all hear what she said? When you feel safe, that's where you allow transformation.
Yes.
I love that.
And if you are into the energy centers, that's one of the biggest things too, is that safety. It's coming from the bottom. And then, you know, and as you're going up, then safety becomes a big thing. And if you're feeling safe, then it's going to be open and it's clear and everything's flowing. And then, like, the energy that it can all go up. But the thing is that it also needs to come down. And so then you might feel inspired and whatnot and say, yeah, I'm going to do this. But then do you feel safe to even physically manifest it? And so, like, bringing awareness into that in this conversation is, or flow-versation, as I say sometimes, is that when you talk about menstrual health, a lot of things that come out that we have titled painful periods, heavy bleeding, endometriosis, fibroids, preterm labor, delayed labor, mm-hmm. Postpartum depression, all of those things are what? They're right there at our second energy center. And that's where we feel or not feel safe. It's close to the first, where wow. Even if we're not rooted in feeling safety, that's all blocked. And so when people talk about, like, well, why is it that we have so many of these diagnoses and all of this stuff? And I said, I want to ask you to take a grander view. Pretend like you're sitting on top of one of our satellites outside of the Earth. And then from that perspective, ask yourself how many women have been crying out for help and feeling like they're not safe. Mm. Yet expected to continue to birth nations. And so
which then we birth into our children. I had a guest on a few months ago, Dr. Valerie Rain, who wrote a book called The Patriarchal Stress Disorder, mm-hmm. about how the trauma of being in a patriarchal society is physically passed down as we birth children. Mm-hmm. The two of you should meet.
Cool. I would, like, go and look and be like, hey, I'm so yeah. stalking you.
No, it's I can said, introduce, like, you because I think there's work there that you guys could share, you ladies could share. Because, yeah, we pass that trauma down. We pass it down from generation to generation.
Now, can I offer even a different perspective on this too?
Sure.
Because I've been seeing a lot when it comes to
trauma, the use of the word trauma, and then there's a lot of mental health professionals out there and even spiritual counselors and whatnot out there too that are all seeing this need for help with facilitating trauma. And then I was just like, can I invite people to see it as this is an experience? Like what you're having is an experience. How is it that you can depersonalize this?
Yeah.
In the way that because if we're saying that, oh, I have this trauma, I experienced this trauma, or I'm in this, the thing is that subtle shift of almost like owning it, like you're actually absorbing it, you know? And so it's kind of like, how about if we shift and we say that there is this patriarchal society that's going on around me? And then in what way is it that I can bring in and activate my strength,
yep,
and my resiliency to navigate this while at the same time, because I'm working on myself, that energy is actually shifting outward, yep, and it's affecting the greater community.
100%. And actually that is kind of what Valerie's book does, is it teaches you how, she calls it jailbreak, how to get out of the jail.
Dang, the episodes I listened to and wasn't hers.
It's good. It's good. That's okay. But I absolutely agree with you. And as a coach, that's so much of the work I do. First, we need to acknowledge the truth of the situation. And listen, sometimes it's straight up trauma. Sometimes, yeah, there have been traumatic experiences. Sometimes it's submersive, subjective, systemic trauma that we don't even realize we're experiencing. First, it's awareness of it. And then it's your choice. Are you going to let that be your story? Are you going to say, well, I can't be whole or function properly because of this trauma? Or are you going to say, no, I can rewrite my story. I can change my space in this and my mind and my energy and own it myself. And that's what I do as a coach. And I'm not a trauma coach, but what are the blocks? What's the bullshit? What's in your way? First, let's get it. Let's know it. Let's be aware of it. And then what can you do to change it for yourself? I just taught an entire free training called Teaching My Brave Method, which is ways to transform and be more successful in all elements of your life. And Brave is an acronym, and E is empowerment. And I'm like, look, folks, I don't give you empowerment. Nobody can give you empowerment. It's not a gift.
Ah, thank you.
It's yours, right? I can guide you. I can lead you. I can train you. I can mentor you. I can coach you. And so can a lot of other people. But empowerment is only yours. You are the only one that can give that to yourself. And so that also ties into everything you said, is first being aware, and second, how do I change it? Because I'm in control of my own damn self.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And like, I love that. Like, totally love it. And I got all the chills over here. because I'm, you know, and you see all of these things that are around there that are talking about like empowerment. But then when you really break it down, it's to help people still rely on them. And it's like, no, that's not the meaning of empowerment. And so when you are able, like, and I'm happy you brought this up, because when you're going and you're trying to learn, how do I manage with what I'm experiencing right now? When you're in a place of empowerment, then you become clear.
Yes.
Like, that's why one of my words is clarity, because you become clear of what it is that what's happening with you, within you. And then not only that, like, your decision-making actually becomes clear, because then you start to see what is actually going to empower me and what's going to disempower me.
Yes.
And that comes in forms of your friends that are around you, and you might talk about, like, with whatever it is that you're going through. It might be your family. It might be especially healthcare providers. And so, like, and that's my other thing.
Especially healthcare providers.
Yes.
They do, like, not know all the things, folks.
No, and they don't. And it's like, and I'm a healthcare provider, but I admit that I don't know everything.
Exactly. It's just, you're like, rare, though.
Yeah. It's like, but then even then, it's even the languaging of your healthcare provider. You know, like, I feel like there needs to be a call for learning or introducing a different way to speak with patients, where and clients, in the sense that it is actually empowering, not just saying the word, but it is empowering, like not fear-based, but like, you know, if you start presenting all of these statistics, in a way, those people become, they take that on as if they are a statistic. And so then now the prognosis of even their own healing has been impacted. And so it's kind of like paying attention to even the language that they might say. And that happens a lot, like in other health conditions where it's like, oh, well, you got this HbA1c, you're diabetic and you're going to lose your feet because that just happens because it happens with Black people. And there's physicians that literally say that.
Ridiculous.
They literally say that. I hear this. That's what they say. So now you have this culture of people who believe that. And then because they believe that, now they don't feel like, oh, well, maybe if I eat differently, I can change this. Or maybe if I got some assistance in why I'm so stressed out, that's actually causing my blood sugar issues. Like it might be transportation. It might be whatever's happening at home. It might be my job. Like if I could just get some help in that, that will actually change my physical presentation. Like, and so instead of actually having physicians that do that, they literally lay out their, and from their perspective, what's going to happen to these people. And then you buy into it. Yeah. And so it's like, we have to, I feel like it has to go, you know, from all angles. Like we work with the end user, we work with the people, and then we got to work with the people that they go see too. Like they raise their awareness to how it is that you're either speaking healing or you're speaking illness into someone's life.
Yeah.
And using your role as their healthcare provider in doing so. And those scales to people who don't feel like they are empowered, the scale of authority of speaking over them, it tips in their favor, like in Absolutely. The provider's favor.
Yeah.
And so it's like coming and really working within yourself and becoming, that's what the word empower means. It's from within. And the people, to understand the people around you are in your space, and then asking, do I want them in my space to help me, like, as I navigate to this next phase? And another thing, I just really have to say this, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like people, and this is where my other space came from about the integrated healing playground, where it is that serious healing doesn't have to be taken so seriously, is that I intentionally use the word healing. It's understanding that we are constantly healing. We are constantly healing. We are constantly healing. And so relieve yourself of that pressure of that there's this finish line.
Feeling guilty. Yeah. Yeah.
And then because all of a sudden this finish line that you didn't get to, you're like, crap, what, I could have done this or I could have done. Actually mm-hmm. be present and then understand that even on a cellular level, like you have cells that are growing and dying all the time. That means that we're healing all the time. And what it is actually a perspective of just how freaking awesome you are at navigating when things come your way. And then you're coming from a stronger place. And you've equipped yourself with the tools to be able to manage at each step of the way and every phase. And then the more empowered you become, that physical transformation can happen.
I love that. I love that. So clearly you and I could talk about a lot of things for a really long time, but let's take that back a little bit to why it's important for people who menstruate to understand their cycle.
Super important to understand your cycle, especially by phases, because you actually, from that perspective, will gain an understanding of yourself and offer yourself a lot more grace as you navigate. Because during that cycle, especially when you learn it by the phases, you are able to see that there's ebbs and flows. So yeah. Things are going up and things are going down hormonally, right? And when that happens, it actually does shift the way that we think. It may shift the way that you feel. And the thing is that, honestly, I feel like when people, you know, might have this strong emotions, right, or strong cravings and all of that. I actually feel like it's magnified because you're resisting it.
What we resist persists.
Yes. So then if you can change like your knowledge and awareness around, wow, okay, well, at this point of my cycle, this is what is happening. I may have this craving for chocolate, right? Now, let's be a little bit more mindful in that and understand, well, you know what? If I'm reaching for a 70% plus cacao piece of chocolate and then I take one bite and I'm satisfied, stop. It very well could have been a mineral thing. But if you're like, let me go and grab this like Snickers or
I knew you were going to say Snickers. How did I know that? The caramel, the nougat. Yeah.
Then it's like, that's a sugar mental thing. And so then now, yeah, like what else is it that's actually there? And that can be, you know, that can create an aid in the inflammatory process. And so then, even then when you're thinking like I'm helping my cramps, but you're really not because it's the sugar. And so then the sugar is inflaming you more, but then it's going in. And so then people are like, well, I have all these thoughts and I'm PMSing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we all PMS. PMS stands for premenstrual. And so yeah. at any yeah. point, we're going to be in that phase of premenstrual. What it is during that point, that cascade of hormones going on means that we actually don't give a shit as much. And so you become very blunt, and because literally it's like you just see things clearer in what it is. And so what someone may interpret like, well, I always don't take out the trash. At this point in your cycle, that conversation could be happening. And then it's like, yeah, I know you don't, but this time I'm just telling you, like, I just do it. Like, I don't
right
have
now
any
I'm hit. Pissed.
Like, yeah.
And then change your always.
So it's like, it's understanding, like, yeah, in the first half and going towards the middle, we tend to be a little bit more sensitive and caring with our words, and we might tend to fluff it a little bit more. But then towards that latter half, we are just a little bit more direct and we're more frank. And so honor that. If that's the case. If you feel uncomfortable being on either end of those spectrums, then that's when you just have to schedule around your life of, okay, am I around these people or not, right? Or like, I'd even say ask yourself why it is that you won't allow those sides of you to express.
Yeah. Well, what I love about that is that I work with people to understand what they really want, understand their needs and their desires, and then ask for what they want. And where I see this colliding is if you understand your internal hormonal and emotional approach to things at different times of the month, you can more clearly communicate that. You can have stronger boundaries. You can ask for the support that you need. You can ask for patience or forgiveness or, you know, whatever it is more confidently and just have better, healthier relationships.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. And it's even understanding that that's you. That's what you prefer. Yeah. That's your preference. And then just as much as it is that we might literally hold ourselves back because we would have created some story about somebody not liking me. They are going to say no. What if this happens and what if that happens? And it's kind of like, all right, so let me ask you this. Do you want to continue in those what if stories while you're going to physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually be in miserable?
Like, yeah. all yeah. because, is that really worth it?
Yeah. And so it's like, or get some confidence, you know, muster it up, just say whatever it is, and then just be open to whatever comes about.
Yeah.
And then, like, because you'll feel freer. And the thing is for those that have like especially cramping, like that happens a lot. Like if cramping is really bad for you, even if you were to address like you're eating better and as far as eating healthier greens and a lot of peppers and onions and stuff like that, you're really eating a lot of great veggies and then you're still having some issues with the cramping, that's one thing that I would say is go ahead and spend some time actually being present and then communicating what it is that you want and then actually following through and doing it. And then do that for a cycle or two and then see what happens.
So when you say, because you're actually, you would not know this, but you're actually talking directly to me. And I particularly have terrible cramping when I'm ovulating, like debilitatingly terrible. They had me on over-the-counter meds, which now is Aleve, but it was naproxen before you could get it, you know, prescription before you could get it over the counter. And that would keep me curled up in the fetal position for days. So when you say asking for what you want and listening to your body, can you give an example maybe?
So where I came from in that is that it's internal, tend to see it or it's like a lot of internal conflict.
Okay.
And so if
presenting itself as cramps.
Yeah. But if it's for you, if you're saying that it's specifically happening at that time, at ovulation, then it asks of, during this transition, which is a major transition within the cycle, what is there, could there be some resistance that is there? And then if there were some seeds to potentially plant, are those like seeds that you actually don't want? Are they really coming from within you? Or could it be coming from outside? Or am I continuing this way because of whatever is your that you're feeling like I have to continue in this way? And then I ask, you know, what is happening prior to that? Because then it's like, am I really, really setting the stage? Did I really actually take the time for me to quiet down during the time that I was actively bleeding, which is actually the time that follicles are growing anyway? And it's just at ovulation is when you're expecting it to have enough energy to just burst out.
Like, right.
And so in what ways is it that I possibly may have overworked?
And that's fascinating.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of interpretations. It's just by person. And so it kind of comes as I have conversations.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cool. If you can take that, like learning about the cycle in that way, you can really,
really cool.
Draw a lot more about yourself and can grow from that space for
I
sure.
Think that's neat. Thank you for that. I think that's really, really neat. Denicia, does this feel like brave work to you?
I think so. Yeah. It's pretty brave
too.
For sure to step out there and do that, like to talk about it, learn about it, and then be like.
Yeah. I mean, still today in 2020, plenty of parents never prep their children to even know what is going to happen or how to deal with it.
Yeah. And if we can get more parents, this is what I say, is anybody that's actually around like children, right? Because everybody wants to be like, it takes a village. And then they're like, well, there's really no villages. And so I'm like, yeah, there are. Like,
yes, there are.
Yes, there are. But if really everybody can take a piece of that ownership of feeding like this love and nurturing and embracing your physical body's natural inclinations in a healthy way, like if everybody takes a little piece, then we can build up this whole community of those that are menstruating where they actually feel like they're safe and that they're welcomed and that they're accepted. And
love that
I think would totally shift what you end up seeing in the physical manifestations of these menstrual health conditions. Because a lot of those behind the scenes are all about like feeling safe and feeling accepted and being encouraged to be who they actually individually are.
Yes. I love it so much. So I'm curious for you, one of the questions that I ask every week because I love it is, what kind of celebrator are you? How do you celebrate wins and successes? Not just big ones, but, you know, little ones that we may not even notice throughout our day if we're not paying attention.
Oh, this is so timely because I just talked about this yesterday with someone.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I tend to do this. It depends. Like if it's like if I get a text of like someone's pregnant or someone's like, this is the best cycle ever or something like that, I have a period dance. And so like
it's, I love that.
I kind of like do this little ditty. And then there's other times where it's just like all of a sudden it's a big clap and then I'll be like, yes. And then I'll just like yell and then I have a dance to that. So maybe my whole thing is just dancing and just being like,
yes,
heck yeah. And then
like, I love it. Yeah. People who listen to the show know that my favorite form of celebration is a dance party. So, yeah, even if it's just a quick one in my office, just for a couple seconds, or if we like turn it up for the whole family and go for it, yeah. It's my favorite. Like, it's going well. So I do a little jig too. That's awesome.
Get down.
Like, no, it is so good. I suspect so many people are gonna have questions for you and want to know more. How can folks find you and learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, so very easy. You can go to DeniceAtHilton.com. So it's D as in dog, E, N as in Nancy, I C E A Hilton, HILTON.com. Everything's there and then it links you to other things.
Cool. I think what you're doing is really brave and really important and cutting edge, quite frankly, because I don't know anybody else who's having these conversations.
Thank you. And I appreciate you for having the space for me to be able to jam and flow with you on this.
Yeah, we totally. I'm looking at the list of like, I think I want to ask Denise about this. And we really didn't hit most of them. And they're just totally fine because we wanted it to flow, folks. Come on. That's funny. Oh, hey, before we wrap this up, I would love to know what your favorite charitable organization is to support.
Oh my gosh. I have two, because they're pretty equal in my life right now. One is Girls Inc. of Pinellas, that's over in my area, and they have a focus within their mission on teaching menstrual health from a healthy way. So I love that. And then my other is that I personally am a wish granter with the Make-A-Wish Foundation of South Florida.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have them be our charities of the week. We are going to ask our listeners and everybody who checks everything out to get to know them. Give them a little love if you can. Support however you can. You know, this is how we make ourselves a stronger village, as you said, a stronger global village of people who want to rise up together, throw the ladder down and help somebody else climb up instead of just getting yourself up there. So I love that. Can you share your three words with us one last time?
Yes. They are clarity, compassion, and consciousness.
I love the. I was like, oh, you've got three C's. I like it. And you spoke directly to clarity. And I think you even spoke directly to consciousness, really, that awareness of what's happening. Just give me a second to talk about the importance of the word compassion.
We actually talked about compassion as well. And that's it came in the form of really talking about giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Also for those that are holding space for others to offer that grace and just coming from that space of openness and accepting of others for who they are as they are at this moment. And the same thing applies to yourself.
I love that. I love it. This has been such a fantastic conversation, Denicia. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, you know, I hope you love this as much as I did. I hope you're learning to be aware, to ask questions, to understand that there's so much more at play in your minds, your body, your emotions, your hormones, things that if you pay attention, you have the ability to gain a whole lot more control over the way your life moves and flows. It's going to make me laugh all day. Right. You have control here. This is how you empower yourself to be more successful, to transform, to live a stronger, healthier life that is also stronger and healthier for everyone you care about, everyone that is around you. So take the time to sit with this and dig into the awareness and figure out how it works for you. And if you don't have a period, if you don't menstruate, what about the people around you that do? And how can you be more compassionate with them, hold space for them, ask better questions, and work with them around their natural cycle? I just think it's fantastic. I would love to hear what y'all think of this episode and, of course, the show in general. Give me a call, 312-646-0205, and share your thoughts with me. I listen to every message. I will respond personally to every message, and I look forward to connecting with you. If you love the work we're doing, I urge you to check us out on Patreon and consider joining our Brave movement. We have so many tiers available with fantastic sponsor goodies and prizes that come with it, but also you just get to be a part of doing something really extraordinarily wonderful, and we want to have you with us. So visit patreon.com/bravefiles to find a tier that works for you and join us. I want to thank you for holding space to be with us here today, for listening to this incredible conversation, and thank you for taking the time to find empowerment for yourself. This is Heather Vickery reminding you today and always to go out and choose bravely. Hey friends, I want to share something really exciting with you. We already know you enjoy listening to podcasts because you're listening to this one, but I'm also betting you enjoy audiobooks. And hey, listen, if you don't already enjoy audiobooks, then it's time to check them out. That's why I'm really excited to share Libro.fm with you. They are an incredible new platform for listening to audiobooks. And by choosing Libro.fm over other audiobook services, you are supporting a local bookstore of your choice and investing in your local community. Libro.fm offers over 150,000 audiobooks via their primary platform, which, by the way, they built with love and from scratch because they're a small business also. They even offer bookseller recommendations for great audiobook options. You can sign up right now via www.vickeryandco.com/librofm. That's vickeryandco.com/librofm. And when you do, you'll get one free audiobook of your choice, and the proceeds will go to your favorite local bookstore. Now, check what I just said there. You're going to get a free book, and the proceeds are still going to go to your local bookstore because Libro.fm makes sure that their booksellers get paid even when they give a promo to customers. I've listened to over 20 audiobooks this year alone. I especially love listening to memoirs read by the author, and it feels great knowing that all of my purchases support my local bookstore, The Book Table, in Oak Park, Illinois. Libro.fm. The same audiobooks, the same price, but a completely different story. Check them out right now at vickeryandco.com/librofm. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes, or get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. And we'd love to know what you think. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery & Co. Success Coaching. Coaching that helps you maintain a life well lived and a business well run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music is produced by Matt Lewis. Follow him on Instagram at Matt M Music or visit his website, theunionband.com. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to our associate producer, Kim Statler. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.